Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Earning. Today my guest is Mastena Nazarian. Mastena is an Alexander Technique teacher and musician in Sydney, Australia. And we're going to talk today about a process that she's been experimenting with, which she calls Alexander Technique Mind Moves, which is, I think, ultimately going to be a series of lessons, audio lessons. We will have a subsequent podcast that will have the first one of those lessons. And so that's our topic. And Mastena, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks for having me. Nothing against people in Sydney, but I'm actually from Melbourne.
Oh, I get that confused. Yeah, Melbourne.
That's okay. If you listen hard enough, you can hear the rain in the background.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, Mastena is in Melbourne. And before we get into this new process of yours, could you give our audience a brief description of the Alexander Technique?
Yes. Alexander Technique is the art of change.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And that was brief, wasn't it?
That
was the briefest
brief.
You ever got up out of anyone.
Well, and that kind of does cover it. Do you want to add anything, or do we want to just leave it at that?
It came to me as I've got one of Alexander's books in a PDF because it's too expensive to buy at that point. So. Mm-hmm. The good thing about that is I could take pages out and stick them on my fridge and contemplate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was looking, I was like, that one paragraph has the word, no, that one sentence that has the word change in it four times.
Mm-hmm. right.
And there it is.
That's what he was all about.
Mm.
For sure.
That's right, yeah.
So could you say a little bit about what inspired you to come up with this process, and then we'll go into some details about it.
Well, I think it was learning to undo my perceptions that I had accidentally gained at some point, was that Alexander's writings weren't the best way to learn Alexander Technique, and he wasn't a very fluid writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I'd gotten this misconception.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, not long ago, I came into a situation. I happened upon the situation in my life, and I was having quite a bit of trouble. And I've decided, I've got these books, I've got that book. Let's do this. Let's do some constructive rest, keep going with things, keep going with my family and all the things that I love doing. And then I started actually opening up the books and just reading from the cover, from the first introduction, just reading. And I was really surprised, Robert.
Mm-hmm.
I found a deep sense of calm just gathering myself in such a way to be able to read his writing. And the more I read, and the more I explored, and the more I read, I started I made a decision to start taking notes under subheadings in this little program called Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was highlighting every single sentence and bookmarking every single page. I was like, this is...
Yeah.
I need a way of organizing this. And the more I explored, the more I realized what an incredible, incredible writer he was. And I never met him. And there's a few photographs and a few little minutes of video. And obviously he trained people and they had their own versions of how they interpreted his work,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. That's what he wanted. But I started looking at his writing from a relief point of view as, well, he's saying this, but what if I break it down, step back, and really be here now from my experience and then start exploring this work new, in a new way, every time I basically happen upon something, happen upon a situation. So the idea of mind moves was inspired by a phrase where he talks about consciousness is synonymous with immobility of mind. And I was like, oh, it's kind of nice.
Right.
So what does it mean to be mobile in our mind, but also to be entering into the moment, not mobile in our mind in such a way where we are swayed by what other people might think of us, or but being mobile from a very, very strong and sort of expanding center, which is an idea that falls very much in line with my practice with martial art. And then I started coming up with this six ideas or things to keep in mind as I was learning to read and interpret his writings and learning how I could learn and teach this in a more fluid way, in a way that was more limitless, really.
Mm-hmm.
Limitless in a way that what does this person in front of me need? Because it's this incredible point in Alexander's writing when he talks about evolution, and he talks about to be conscious of the need to need.
Okay.
And that was like just like a really calming moment. It was like, oh, I remember my martial art instructor, Shihan David Brown, just looking at me one day, says, you know, as humans, we have this very, very simple ability to be able to observe ourselves from any corner of this place we're standing in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ah, I can observe myself being in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I proceed in such a way where I can still be observing myself? And this is one of the instances where Alexander talks about the ideal. Mm-hmm. He talks about seeing the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And his method being a way of bringing out that ideal in every single person. Anyone, he doesn't just say anyone who will do what I did, but he actually a couple of times says anyone who will take the time. And I was like, what's my relationship with music? Oh yeah, music's all about time. And then I was like, okay, principle or invitation or action, first step to learn, to continue to learn this art of change would be listening. How am I listening through my bones, through my contact with the floor? How am I listening to gravity? Of course, this has, for you, this is the up with gravity work that you,
And by listening, you're not just auditory listening, but being aware of, right?
Yeah, because it goes back to that many moments with Shihan Brown and my other wonderful teachers. I actually consider doing this podcast as a lesson, as a way of a place to learn. Can we listen through our back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I listen through where my eyes aren't?
Mm-hmm.
So it's many, many different aspects to this idea of listening. And so I put that as number zero.
Okay.
Because
right.
It almost, it's like the circle that I can always come back to and then put all the other things to do with learning the art of change, learning the Alexander technique. I can bring it into that container of listening.
Okay. And then, so that's in a way kind of the fundamental one of these six that you're going to be covering?
Yeah, they all web together.
Mm-hmm.
they all create a web, and I don't think of as a web something that's entangling. I think of a container or a constraint as something that actually allows this forward and up. You know, so this then the number one, or it, and they're not hierarchical. Other than the zero, they're not really hierarchical.
Okay,
is two words: is allowing and directing. So, just like if I'm working with a group of musicians, I may have written some notes for them, score for them to work with. So I'm through that, I'm directing them towards a certain direction. You know, the rhythms on the page, the melody, the meter, all the other things involved with music. And then in another sense, I'm allowing them to interpret that with me. So those two things, I think, work together. As another simple explanation is if I'm at a dinner table and my, you know, my kid is like, you know, 8 months old and is smashing the sweet potatoes like mad, I'm going to direct them to maybe put some in their mouth, but I'm also going to allow them to sort of bang and mash and do whatever they want with their arms a little bit. So allowing and directing ourselves to work with the principles of the Alexander technique in such a way that we're not just saying, gee, you know, that ideal that my teacher presented to me or that ideal that Alexander wrote about, I'm never going to get there. Well, I'm not even going to try. So we're going to, I decided that part of directing my energy, directing how I listen, directing how I interact, needs to also have this counterpart of allowing. So they kind of go together. And then the next one is timing, and I'll borrow the counterpart or the neighbor of this from a tune by Thelonious Monk called Ritmening. So timing and Ritmening, these are two things that if someone's interested in reading Alexander's first chapter of Use of the Self, it's very hidden in what he writes about. Because he keeps talking about the variety of things he had to try to finally come up with the big aha moment. And so he is placing himself on this journey where he's stopping, starting again, taking things slow, looking from another perspective. If we can imagine we were there with him, maybe he's going really fast. he's changing things. But he's staying, he's maintaining his direction towards his goal, which is the need to not have a voice problem.
Right. So, and there's a sentence in that chapter which says essentially the faults or the dead end paths that I took are too numerous to mention. Something to that effect, and Marjorie Barstow, my teacher, main teacher, used to say that, in her opinion, was the most important sentence in that chapter. Interesting.
Yeah, that idea that as we're learning something, whether it's as all-encompassing as the art of change or how to be more efficient in our efforts in playing an instrument. There's a slow and there's a fast, and there's many different ways we can apply ourselves to the task at hand. So, shall I keep going to another one?
Sure, yeah.
Then this next one's, I suppose, probably the trickiest one to talk about because it requires well, maybe I don't know, that's my conception right now anyway. So it's the idea that there's constructivity and a sense of resisting that we can use as we're learning something. So we're always actually resisting gravity, but how and through which direction we work and resist gravity will bring out our natural capacity to be well-balanced bipeds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get extremely technical about this, but for example, if I'm working with a plank in the Pilates, the way I resist gravity, whether I'm resisting gravity through the inside line of my arm, through the thumb line, it's going to have a very different effect as if I resist gravity through the outside line, the pinky line of my arm.
So is this resisting gravity with you, what, lifting something or making a motion with your arms?
It could be anything, even when we're lying in our classic, so-called, now part of the classic repertoire, constructive rest.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just sort of falling asleep. We're finding ways to resist and work constructively with gravity through our
mm-hmm.
structure.
Mm-hmm.
Does that?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I would phrase it slightly different from my own
yeah.
experiments, but
sure.
But basically, gravity is applying a force to us in one direction, but there is an equal and opposite force coming from the surface we're lying on. And I think there are a lot of implications to that, but I think it's related to what you're talking about.
It's extraordinarily related,
yeah.
Robert.
Yeah.
One of the things that Alexander writes about in his procedures, if anyone cares to explore the writing, is that he talks about supporting the torso with the arms.
Mm-hmm.
And so that idea of having the arm in front of us as a sense of reaching out
mm-hmm.
and creating a counterbalance for the torso with the arm.
Mm-hmm.
Last night it just actually blew my mind how clearly I was experiencing in myself. I was able to hear another layer of that phrase. The torso is supported by the arms, or the arm is supporting the torso.
Mm-hmm.
Within my own experience. So I kind of invite even beginners to explore the writing as they're learning with the teacher. I think it's a really rich source. So the next one is the idea of imagination. Again, it's something that as a musician, I imagine a mood or a context for a composition, and it's a matter of chipping away at it, finding the time,
mm-hmm.
not making excuses, going back and forth, changing things constructively, resisting the urge to go into too many different directions with the composition. And so it's keeping the imagination fluid, but also focused. In one of the ways that Alexander talks about this is grasping the back of the chair firmly and lightly. Gently and firmly.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are two opposing, well, initially there's two opposing words, but once we sort of let that settle in our imaginative capacity,
mm-hmm.
then we can say, oh yeah, well, okay, there's something maybe is outside of my experience to be typing or holding this pen gently but firmly, but maybe I can allow a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
and I would say there's from my perspective a bit of a parallel with effective directing of ourselves, that the directing needs to be definite and clear, but also very light, very soft, very soft. Softer the better, in my opinion. And that's that can seem a bit of a paradox at first for new students.
Well, I suppose the whole idea
It is
of...
a paradox, I guess. You just have to deal with it.
Hey, guys, it remains a paradox.
Yeah.
But the other thing that the very general aspect of the of his work that he writes about is, you know, this isn't ideal, but it's available to anyone should they want to spend the time to cultivate it.
Absolutely.
So that's that idea of superimposing that lightness within the sure-footedness.
Yep. That's a nice way of putting it. Yeah.
And so the last one is the idea of playing. So,
or as Marge Barstow would say, this work is too serious to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Or it's as was Sheehan Brown said, does he improvises very fluidly around the structure of around this structures that he adheres to, that are sort of what one would say classical Aikido. But he says it's too beautiful to be wrong.
right.
It's too beautiful to be wrong. And so all of these six things flow out of my experience of playing and imagining and constructing. I mean, that idea of constructive resistance is what an instrument needs to have. You know, whether it's in my particular case, it's a guitar. So I need to have resistance on the instrument itself, with itself.
Right.
For it to sound through the electronics.
Right. But these principles that you're talking about this is not something that's particularly just for musicians or people who do martial arts or anything. It's really for anybody, right?
Well, absolutely. And
I think Alexander would totally agree with that. Just, you know, that he wasn't looking to reach a certain specific group of people at all.
No, and that's what I referred to before about the calmness that I found, unexpected sense of extraordinary calm at a time of extraordinary amount of turmoil and anxiety in my life. I realized that he was speaking from his experience. I mean, obviously, I'd realized that, but it was just a layer of it.
Right.
Became more clear. And the reason I mentioned that these things happen in my experience as a musician, so what's yours?
Mm-hmm. So everyone's going to have these.
Yeah, and I'll probably go through and have many, many, many more evolutions of these six things. I'll probably end up with one or down the road. But they're actions that we all do. We all listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even someone like Evelyn Glennie, who doesn't have her listening happens in many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
We all allow things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might allow the cyclist to be in the cycling lane when we're driving in a car, mm-hmm. if we're nice.
Sure. Yeah.
We all have a direction that we take. You know, even if we don't particularly think of it that way, we all sort of point ourselves in the direction of the bathroom when we need to use the bathroom.
Right.
And timing, we're all sort of relying on the grids of a calendar or timing, and we all have a rhythm about our movements. We all I just don't like this notion that you have to be creative to explore the art of change or this kind of quite heady ideas, but we're constantly constructing things.
Right. So, I mean, these are all things that we do in one form or another as part of our daily lives. And it sounds like what you're talking about is bringing them to bear in an intelligent, thoughtful way.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
And I don't want to cut this short prematurely, but we are a little bit running out of time. Mm-mm. But what I would like to say is that we're going to have a second podcast in which you're going to actually run through a specific example of applying these processes. And I believe you said it was going to be sitting was going to be the focus of the first one of these.
Yeah, I thought I'd start there.
That's a good place because a lot of us sit and a lot of us sit badly. And I'd like to just let people listening know that the books that you're referring to were all written by F. Matthias Alexander, who was the developer of the Alexander technique over 100 years ago. And the book, there are four of them, and they are all available. Most of them, I believe, are available on Amazon. They're all available from various sources. And some people have felt that they're tough going. Mm. And I think for some people, they are tough going. But even if you think they're tough going to read, there are, even if that's your sort of general take on them, there are multiple moments of flashes of genius in all of them, where he says he explores or brings out an idea that, well, if you really let yourself consider it, you know, could change your life. I mean, he was a smart guy. He was not, some people would say he may not have been the world's greatest writer. Other people.
I beg to differ.
Well, I know. And you and other people say, oh, yeah, no, he was so great that we didn't quite get how great he was. But in any event, the books that inspired you to come up with this process, of which we're going to have an example in the next podcast, are all available for anyone to read. I think that might be a good place to bring this conversation to an end, unless there's something that you want to add.
Something I want to add? No, I've I learned English when I was 11, so I never knew what the word vicarious meant.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Until I read Alexander's description of how he worked with people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he moved them vicariously. Mm-hmm. I went up and to the dictionary and looked it up. And
checked
that was
it
a
out.
Great experience. Yeah, checked it out. And the other thing that I just like to leave with is that when he talks about the relationship between the mental and the physical, mm-hmm. and the body and mind, he actually doesn't say that they're the same. He's very careful, I think, not to say that they're the same, but that they have a profound influence on one another.
Yeah,
they have an intimate relationship, that they are not separate, which is not quite the same as saying they're the same. So,
but they are, I think in his view, they are so intertwined with each other.
Oh, yeah.
That I think you could almost say mind and body are two aspects of pretty much the same thing.
Sure, yeah. But it's a distinction that's worth a lifetime of freedom and quietness.
Well, if you really work through the implications of that relationship, if you want to call it that, but it's really, that if you really work through the implications of that, it has absolutely profound implications for how one could usefully live their life. And in that way, Alexander was light years ahead of other people at that time and even today. I mean, now people talk about mind-body unity or mind-body this or that. That phrase gets dropped all the time. But he was kind of at even a more intimate relationship between the two than that, at a time when, in the West at least, that was pretty far out. Certainly in Australia. In the 19th century,
we were pretty advanced here still.
Yeah, well, you know, that was plastic. That was before Australia became the land of Oz. You know, it was a different time. anyway, okay, so as I say, there'll be a second podcast, and there'll probably be additional ones after that, where Mastana will actually run through one of these processes with you. And in the meantime, I'll just say that my guest today has been Mastana Nazarian, an Alexander Technique teacher in Melbourne, Australia. And if anything that we've talked about intrigues you, and you could contact her and have a lesson or lessons with her, I'll also put a link to a website that'll give you more information, more general information about the Alexander Technique. You can also order all of Alexander's books from that website, and you can locate a teacher in your area from that website. So, Mastana, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Robert. Thanks so much.